Mrs. Gordon Pepper. And, you know, usually we start off with some silly anecdote. However, not this time. This time we are mourning one of the greats in the business, one of the game show legends, and just a reminder to all of us in one of the earlier generations, you know, over the past couple of years, we've had remnants of this generation go away, and another one just did in the form of Peter Marshall.
Indeed, he was, there have been game show hosts, there have been game show stars, but he was the only master. He was, yes, many people have hosted Hollywood Squares, but he was the master of the Hollywood Squares, also the master of the Blitzboard to a generation of 80s kids who remember such things. But we're going to talk about his life, his legacy, and of course, all of the things that, all of the people that have had something incredibly memorable to say about the man. We also have the latest on Big Brother, Millionaire, America's Got Talent, and the 5+1 this week, the 5+1 questions on Wheel of Fortune as Ryan Seacrest
leads. Ryan Seacrest to launch new era, as we'll find out September 9th. But, Chico, let's do this.
From somewhere in America, this very special edition of We Love to Interrupt is on. Let's go.
We.
Yep. Welcome to episode 458. I'm not going to be as jovial as I am. I'm Jason. That's Gordon. And Chico. And let's get right to it. We lost the oldest, I believe it is the oldest living male game show host left. At the age of 98, Peter Marshall died over this past weekend of kidney failure. He was, as we explained earlier, the master of the Hollywood Squares, the Merrill Heater, Bob Quigley production. And what we heard was something called Bob and Merrill's theme, which is what the Hollywood Squares theme was about. But he was not only known, Chico, for just being the master of the Hollywood Squares. He was a Broadway star, a very successful Broadway star.
Yeah, you're talking about being a singer and an actor on top of his being the master of the Hollywood Squares.
Right. And Gordon, you remember the story about this. The person that I think you know this, and I think this is game show lore number 101. Do you remember who the original host of the Hollywood Squares was supposed to be?
Actually, I don't. Game show 101. I gotta give that card back in.
Okay, that was supposed to be Burt Parks. Remember?
Oh, you know what? No, I didn't know that. Yes. You're absolutely right. Okay. I take that back. My card back.
Right.
Okay, card back.
Yes. And what happens is that Peter Marshall took over and became Gordon, the greatest straight man in the history of game show hosts. Simple and easy.
Yeah, simple and easy. He let the stars be the stars. You know, when we talk about letting the host be the conduit and not the stars, this would be the sterling example of that would be Peter Marshall.
Yeah,
because he showed everybody how to do it. You know, hosts have their own different styles. Obviously, you've got Barker, you had Trebek, you had Sajak, and all of them came out being snarky and having their own attitude. You know, obviously, Drew Carey still has a Steve Harvey's got it in tons of different ways. But Peter Marshall's role as the host was to make sure that everyone else was a star. And he was just that, something that was emulated almost to perfection by Tom Bergeron, for argument's sake, and others that helmed onto the Hollywood Squares mantle. But nobody did it better than Peter Marshall.
No one did it better. And, well, his best foil was the late, great Paul Lynde. And we have sort of a naughty example of this. This is, you know, this is courtesy of, I believe it is Merrill Heater Productions.
Yes, via CBS Studios, who now own the property of the Hollywood Squares and are actually doing something with it. So
more on that later. Check this out. This is pretty funny. Yeah,
this is Peter Marshall asking Paul Lynde a very important question. You have a dual implication here, so check this out.
According to the food editor of the Dallas Morning News, what's the best reason for pounding meat?
Oh, loneliness.
I'll try that again.
And the beauty of this was, if you see it on the visual, he's just trying to get the game going. That is the beauty of it. Now, Gordon, one of my favorite shows that Peter Marshall did was a show. Now, do you remember a show back in the day called Queen for a Day in the 60s and 50s? Do you remember a show called that?
I do. I'm surprised you actually went there. I'm going to go into a different direction, but let's have your direction first.
Okay. My favorite show was called Fantasy. Okay. This was an early 80s show that basically did reunions, dreams come true way before the late Richard Simmons did Dreammaker. Okay. This was co-hosted by his longtime friend, Leslie Uggams, as well. Great show, and he gave it a class and upgrade that I don't think it would have done. I don't think it would have done as well without him there.
Yeah.
So what do you, where do you want to go with this?
I want to go with the fact that he almost, redid himself in a certain way with another show that he hosted called All Star Blitz.
Which was basically basically what would happen if Hollywood Squares and Wheel of Fortune had a baby.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. A little bit more strategy involved. But it was the same thing. And it also showed that Peter Marshall was not a one-trick pony by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
He was a very versatile host. Again, he was like a Bob Barker or somebody else where you know him for one show, but you don't realize how good he was in other shows. Like, Barker, you had Price is Right. He also did Truth or Consequences. And he was very, very versatile. Peter Marshall, the exact same thing. You know, he could do a lot of different things.
He could do a lot of different things. One of the things that he did outside of both Fantasy and All-Star Blitz, he was in Annie in 1980. He played a role opposite Albert Finney and Eileen Quinn. Eileen Quinn, character by the name of Bert Healy, who is basically a pastiche of himself, I guess you could say. But another thing that he did, he was also a musical artist.
Well, he was a musical artist. He was a Broadway guy. He also parodied himself in Living Color, if you remember correctly.
I do, with the East Hollywood Squares in Living Color.
No, it wasn't the East Hollywood Squares. It was just the Hollywood Squares.
It was in Living Color. It was the East Hollywood Squares.
Okay. And Peter Marshall was there. And
I actually found a clip if you want to see it.
Go for it. Just give it 30. Let's see 30 seconds of it if you got it.
Okay, 30 seconds of the East Hollywood Squares. This is courtesy of YouTube user Bones Jones.
Okay.
Live from the inner city, it's East Hollywood Squares with Ike Turner, Eartha Kitt, Garrett Morris, Isabel Sanford, Gary Coleman, Video Star, Antonio Javier Fargas, Esther Rowe, and Skeeter. And now, the host of East Hollywood Squares, Peter Marshall.
Thank you, Kenny. Welcome to East Hollywood Squares. Hello, stars. Good to see you. You know Susan here and Henry, our players, and I want to show you folks at home who our secret square is for this first game. So, Susan, you're going to start it all. You won the toss backstage, so pick a star and good luck.
Okay, I'll take Ike Turner, please.
Ike, how's it going?
What the problem is?
I said, how are you?
Yeah, back at you with a baseball bat.
Ike, listen carefully. How long does it take to whip eggs for a souffle?
Peter, is that you? Can you shut your damn mouth?
You're listening carefully. The question refers to whipping eggs, Ike.
Oh, I thought you meant whipping ass. Okay, look here. All right, Peter, that's right. Well, first of all, you got to begin with the good eggs, then the bad eggs. First, you got to get all up in here. Now, once you up in there, you got to bust it open. Crack it, you know what I'm saying. Oh, crack! Who said something about crack? No, man, that ain't no crack. That was baking soda, man. I'm off the...
Yeah, but basically, you saw it. He was exactly the same. Exactly yeah. The same.
Even now, the announcer, Kenny. That wasn't right. Kenny Williams. That was Kenny somebody else.
Right. Now, I have a question for you. I gave you a list, didn't I, of the oldest living game show hosts as of now.
I actually have that list. Now, Peter Marshall, you remember, he was 98 when he passed. He was 98 when he passed.
As of today, August 21st.
Yes. Wake Martindale is 90. He turns 91 in December. Bob Eubanks is 86. Chuck Woolery is 83. Pat Sajak is 77. Meredith Vieira is 70. Tom Bergeron is 69.
Nice.
Drew Carey or Steve Harvey is 67 and Drew Carey is 66.
And I believe Wayne Brady is like 50, right? So 50, yeah. 51, something like that. But interesting, Gordon, that's a we're in a generational shift, aren't we? Right now.
Yeah, we are. We absolutely are. And Peter Marshall is almost the end of the people from the newest generation that people don't know about. And Chico, as you said, everybody that you've mentioned that's left are all people that are known in this generation.
Yeah, the last person in the older generation, in my opinion, is Wink. Because Bob Eubanks, even though he's older, everyone knows the Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the Newlywed Game. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing. It's just sad because Peter Marshall, you never heard a bad story about him. As a matter of fact, I want to pull something up from Harry Friedman's Facebook account because he publicly talked about Peter Marshall because, remember, he got his start on Hollywood Squares as a question writer.
That's right.
And he wrote, Peter, you were truly the master of the Hollywood Squares. You were able to put the contestant at ease, run the game, and still be the perfect straight man for every comedian who appeared on the show. I learned so much of you from my 10 years at Squares. I've since had the pleasure of working with the very best host in the business, but it all began with you. And he also talked about the storybook squares, too. Peter Marshall loved the special versions of the show, like storybook squares, when he interviewed each of the characters as they were introduced. This was Peter at his straight man best. So quick, so smart. Paul Lynde is Paul Bunyan and is the Frankenstein monster, and also as the Wicked Queen were especially memorable. I supervised post-production on those episodes along with the late, great Mark Corwin. He was an NBC staffed assistant director at the time. And we laughed until we cried. If I had only saved those outtakes. Wow. I would have loved to have heard those. But what a loss.
Yeah, it is quite a loss. And I just want to share a couple of anecdotes here. First one is from Tom Bergeron, who says of Peter, when people would ask me how my Hollywood Squares could improve on the original, I had a ready answer. It couldn't. It didn't have Peter Marshall. That wasn't false modesty. Peter was the master of the Hollywood Squares. I was his Padawan. Check your Star Wars dictionary. I was also his friend. What a lovely bonus that was. And another one from Ruta Lee, who you remember from High Rollers. Pete, as the host star of the Hollywood Squares, generously turned the spotlight from himself to all of us in the squares. He made us all shine in that warm glow. He did the same in his personal life. The world has dimmed a little. Hey, Pete, ask God some of those silly questions. And one more from John Davidson, who you would remember as the 80s host of Hollywood Squares. Peter was always a class act as an actor on Broadway and as an entertainer, singer, and as a host. His big thing was making other people look great. And as a friend, he was my biggest supporter. When I took over the Hollywood Squares after he finished his award-winning, record-breaking run, he cheered me on. He gave me some tips and was truly excited for me. Who does that? Just a lovely, talented man who always took the higher road. A big man has left us, and I will never forget his inspiration. Neither will we.
I believe it is time for a moment of silence.
I believe
yes, folks.
Thank you.
And now it's time. We have to move on. Hit the cue.
Previously on Big Brother.
Last time on Big Brother, Tucker used the veto on himself, and deepfake Angela nominated Rubina as the replacement nominee. We have Cedric, Mackenzie, and Rubina now on the block. Who will save themselves from the block in the BBAI arena? And will we find out who or what the AI instigator is? Who will be the next person on the WLTI Losers Lounge couch? Find out on this recap of Big Brother.
It's going to be that kind of a f***ing night, isn't it?
So the AI arena game is called Upload Download. The upload is 5 colored balls that have to stay in the center of the ramp. Roll it too far and it'll go down. Once all 5 balls are safe in the middle, the player has to knock the big colored balls with smaller silver balls. The first person to do that and hit their buzzer is safe. The way the camera work was done, it looked like Rubina was the winner, but by a half step, Mackenzie saves herself. The vote will be between Cedric and Rubina. So, Quinn, the deepfake HOH, Angela, the real HOH, Rubina and Cedric can't vote. The vote goes down 6-3 with Brooklyn, Cam, and Chelsea voting off Rubina. The rest say bye-bye to Cedric, and Cedric becomes, Chico, the next person on the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch. I hear nothing. There we go.
Yeah, you got to wait for me to hit it, man. It is the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, where you'll have comfortable seating, remote control freedom, Jennifer Lopez, newly single, soft-ass cushions, cup holder, your very own cubbyhole, and a cup and your e-reader with your very own copy of Till the Last Bugle Call by Eric Hamill, as well as the copy of the Club Gordon Banger of the Week. Gordon, what's on the jukebox today?
It Takes Two by Seduction.
Ooh, okay.
Because it took two to make a flip go right.
Yes, it did.
You want snacks? We got snacks. We got Goobers, Raisinets, Pretzels, Oreos, Spreeze, Chewy Spreeze, Hot Cheetos and Takis, Chilled Reese's Cups, Cheez-It, Pizza Pringles, Moon Pies, Funyun, Fun Dip, Garrett
Chicago popcorn. Yep.
If you're thirsty, we have to drink that'll cure your little loser thirst. We have Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, Snapple, Starbucks, Ocean Spray, Ruby Red, Dr. Pepper, Simply Orange, Simply Cranberry, Tang, Red Kool-Aid, Sunny D, Purple Stuff, Purple Drink, A&W
Root Beer.
And of course, the number one snack combination of the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch. That would be Krispy Kreme Classic Glazed Donuts and Izzy Soft Drink. And remember, the number one rule of the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch, you can sleep on it, you can hog the cushions, but you do not hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy Soda. Y'all don't come back now. You hear?
So we find out that the AI instigator will be a chaos agent voted on by America all this week. We're going to find out who is the AI instigator, I believe, on next Sunday's show. The HOH comp and the veto comp were both classics. One, the HOH was called Firewall. It's the hanging wall competition we all know and love. Angela, Chemo, Joseph, and Leah are the first four out and are have-nots for the week. The final four are Rubina, Tucker, Quinn, and Cam. It comes down to Tucker and Quinn. Quinn refuses Tucker's deal, but Tucker hangs on and he's the new HOH. And he nominates Quinn, Cam, and Brooklyn. However, he wants to nominate, he wants to use the veto on Quinn because Brooklyn is his real target. The veto players are Quinn, Tucker, Cam, Brooklyn, McKenzie, and Joseph from Tucker. The veto competition is another classic called Hide and Go Veto. Here's how it works. Each player will have 2 minutes and 30 seconds to hide their memory card with their questionable searches on it. Once all the cards are hidden, the players will trash the house trying to find the card. And by the way, all the cards look alike. The last person whose card is not found is the new HOH. The hiding and then finding order were Joseph, Brooklyn, Quinn, Cam, Tucker, and McKenzie. We revealed
the HOH, but it was actually the veto.
Power veto. I'm sorry. You're right. Wins the golden power veto. You're correct. I'm sorry. Bad script. Bad teleprompter. We reveal the cards once they all find it and trash the house, per usual. Is Brooklyn first, Quinn second, McKenzie, Cam, and then Joseph. So Tucker has all the power. Now Tucker thinks Quinn's messed with his clothes when it was all Brooklyn. At the veto meeting, Tucker decides to nuke everything and talks about both the Collective Alliance and the Pentagon Alliance, uses the veto on Quinn, and nominates Chelsea. So we have the three people who voted off Rubina to be on the block. So, gentlemen,
production.
Correct. Who will take themselves off the block, and who goes home?
Oh, boy.
Based on what we know from Tucker, Brooklyn is the target. So Brooklyn better win the AI or else Brooklyn shall be leaving. And this week reminded me of Survivor Marquesas, where the Big Four made a huge mistake when everybody that was outside the alliance realized they were outside the alliance.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why Cedric left, because Decor and Timo realized that they were the outliers on the Pentagon, and they didn't know the Pentagon existed, so they weren't even invited. And they went, well, wait, if we stay with the course, we're leaving in 6th and 7th. We don't want that. So it was a stupid move. And again, stupid move by being a pawn. Never be a pawn.
Right.
Don't do it.
Yes.
Because they basically blew up his game this week. And then once they realized about the Pentagon, now the whole Pentagon's been blown up. And that's the problem of you not keeping your alliances quiet. Because if somebody finds out that there's an alliance that they are not part of, they want to get rid of the people in said alliance.
Now, I have a question. Because Tucker was, you know, Tucker held all the cards. He had all the power. He was basically the man of the manor this week. What happens when all that goes away next week? Because is he going, did he play a little too hard this week? Did he feel himself a little
No, he's the only really
Absolutely
one.
Not.
No, he's playing the game. He's playing a game, and I will bet you that America makes him the Chaos Agent.
And I will say, you know, being put on the block all those times, Tucker knows he's got to play harder. He's going home.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about the AI glitch in terms of that, and that it's at least at this point, it's harder to be backdoored. So someone like Tucker, if they don't win head of household and don't win veto, their games don't automatically end. And again, this is something that needs to be done every single season of Big Brother. The third person option and the AI battle has been fantastic.
And I will also say this. This has been the best Big Brother season since the cookout a few years ago. And this is actually even better than that.
And if you remember, the cookout season was pretty daggone good.
Yeah. This is just really good. And you know, and I think that Tucker, no matter what, I think he's got the America's favorite player vote sewn up.
We shall see. Meanwhile, let's go to Sony Pictures Studios, shall we?
Okay.
Because we have more stars playing for charity on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and we start with an Everybody Loves Raymond reunion, Ray Romano playing for Harvest Home, and Brad Garrett playing for Maximum Hope Foundation. Let's ask the host for $8,000. In the 2024 movie Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, Anya Taylor-Joy played the title character, a role previously portrayed by which of these actresses? Natalie Portman, Zoe Saldana, Charlize Theron, and Scarlett Johansson. You and I know the answer.
Yeah, and of course, it was Charlize Theron, of course. Yep. Because Furiosa was played by Charlize Theron in the original movies.
Indeed it was. At least in Mad Max Fury Road, they had to ask Jimmy. Jimmy told them it was Charlize. They went with it, and they got to 16 and finally 32,000. According to a 2021 review, the premiere of what TV series featured Peloton's most unfortunate product placement?
Now, I knew this from the jump.
I know this.
Because what happened was... is that Mr. Big was on the Peloton bike and died. Sorry, spoiler alert. He was killed off because of a Me Too thing, if I remember correctly.
It's why his character dropped out of The Equalizer during season 2, if I'm not mistaken.
That but, too.
Yeah, it was Yellow Jackets, and just like that, Hacks or Only Murders in the Building... 41% of the audience went with And Just Like That, and just like that, they're going for 64,000. An old-fashioned Scottish term that's having a moment. Herkeldirkling refers to doing what? Lounging in bed, wearing baggy clothing, eating very small meals, or not combing your hair? They use their 50-50, and they use their phone a friend, which leaves lounging in bed and not combing your hair. I do this when I have a day off because this job is physically and mentally taxing.
Not combing your hair?
What hair?
That's the point. No, it's actually lounging in
you,
bed.
You little pair of eyes, you.
Yeah, so they go to 125, and I love this one because I knew this one too. Thought to be a nod to Einstein's theory of relativity, what famous painting was actually inspired by a plate of Camembert cheese melting in the sun? And is Piet Mondrian's Broadway Boogie Woogie, Magritte's The Son of Man, Dali's The Persistence of Memory, and D. Pollock's Lavender Mist. And The Persistence of Memory, if you remember, had the melting clocks.
Yep. Yeah, I was trying to figure out how that was a $125,000 question.
I don't know. That's art 101, really. But this
it
one
is art 101.
But this one, I think I also knew this one too, but it's 250. Go ahead.
To create a realistic-looking farm without using CGI, Christopher Nolan had a 500-acre cornfield planted in western Canada for which of his films? Oppenheimer, Tenet, Inception, or Interstellar?
And I knew this because I remember what Interstellar was about. It was a very politically charged movie about the environment, if you remember correctly. And the only one that had an environmental theme was Interstellar. I remember that.
And you would be right, but Ray and Brad walked with the 125,000. So
and split 62-5. And then we have Jason Ritter, who was playing for the Huntington's Disease Society of America, and Rats in the Kitchen host Natasha Leggero playing for a charity I'm actually helping out with a work project I'm doing right now called Donors Choose. So there's that. They get to the 4,000. And ask the host, and any college athlete can tell you that L in NIL stands for what? Legacy, license, labor, or likeness. And of course, okay, it would be name, image, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to the...
They get to the milestone, 32,000.
Mm-hmm.
In a 2024 viral TikTok post, Dr. Dana Brems explained you can give yourself a quick dehydration check by doing which of the following: rubbing your eyes vigorously, making fists with your toes, pinching your skin, or tousling your hair.
I actually know this because that's how I check my dad's dehydration. For real. This is no joke. This is something I know. You know?
Yep, they had to use the 50-50, which left C and D, pinching your skin and tousling your hair. You're going to have to teach me what it actually means, but it's pinching your skin.
What happens is that if your skin goes down very slowly, you are dehydrated.
Okay. If you depress your skin and
no, you have to pull your skin up and let it go. If it goes right back into your skin, you're fine. But if it goes down slow, you're dehydrated.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. All right, so we go to 64,000. In 2023, what rock legend song "Love Is a Long Road" surged 37,000% in Spotify plays after it was featured in the Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer? Elvis Presley, Neil Young, Chuck Berry, or Tom Petty? Or E, Seduction?
No, it's Tom Petty.
It takes two to make a thing go right.
I'm sorry.
It is actually Tom Petty. I...
You said Tom Petty. The audience went 81% for Tom Petty. That's right. So we go to 125,000. Since 2002, what U.S. city has displayed giant portraits on its buildings honoring hometown heroes like Diane Sawyer, Jennifer Lawrence, and Jack Harlow? I know this one. Phoenix, Louisville, Kentucky. Phoenix, Arizona, Louisville, Kentucky, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Kansas City, Missouri.
So they call Guy Branum. He said KC. Jason thought Louisville. Should have stuck with Louisville.
Yep, it is Louisville. I know this because Jennifer Lawrence is a Kentucky girl.
That's right. So they split 32,000, and we've got more celebrities next week.
Yes, we do. But right now, let's get into a bit of a review / recap of RuPaul's Drag Race Global All-Stars. This takes the Drag Race formula and basically adapts it for a whole lot of...
It's the Drag Race format with a lot of global All-Stars. This is 30 seconds with...
That's what I was going to say. Thank you.
Because all it was the global talent extravaganza. 6 in the first episode, 6 in the second episode. You had Adriana Lima and Danny Paola as the judges. The winners were Queen Kong and Alyssa Edwards, who, and then the winners and the other ones were Eve LaQueen and Vanity Vane. And we don't know about the eliminations or anything yet, right, everyone? I don't think so.
We won't know about that until later in the season.
Well, we will see. Now,
yeah, but it's Drag Race. I mean, there are ways you can go wrong with Drag Race, but so far we haven't seen any.
But again, it's still early, right? Because the introductory episodes don't get you to where you need to be just yet.
They don't.
Right, Gordon?
Correct.
So we will see. Because remember, All-Stars 9 went back to what All-Stars 7 was supposed to be. So we're okay. But we need to review the big premiere of the week, which was The Anonymous, done by the same production company who did The Traitors and what else? I forget
the
which.
Traitors and The Circle.
Right. So
Studio Lambert is having a moment, basically.
Right. So basically, if The Traitors, The Circle, and any reality competition show got together and got to know each other, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we have 12 players in a domicile called the Roundhouse. During the game, the contestants will congregate in the Roundhouse and be how people are with each other during reality competitions. However, they will also live in a place called the Square House and spend the other half of their game in the Hideouts, which is an underground bunker, a network of bunkers where you are free to express your deepest thoughts. It's in something called anonymous mode. Players can call out players and are encouraged by the live-in interface, Danny, that is the Digital Anonymous Networking Interface, or Danny.
Right.
To be as vicious as possible. The goal is to remain as anonymous as possible in the chats, and the ultimate winner will win
up to $100,000.
Up to $100,000.
And we haven't had any eliminations yet, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or have we?
No, I don't believe we have. In the first challenge, you have, you have 20 minutes to memorize sequences of the contestants' avatars and push buttons in that sequence in order to build the pot. Contestants with the longest successful sequence is safe from elimination, so eliminations are indeed in play. And then the contestants go into anonymous mode, have a not very nice chat with each other, and vote on who they think should leave. Anyone who gets one vote is considered at risk. Then after more face-to-face strategizing, they go into the bunker again, take a test on who they think is behind each avatar. Person who gets the least number of right guesses is considered the anonymous for that round and picks the at-risk person to be eliminated. So it's like season one of Big Brother meets the mole.
Meets the traitors, meets this.
Wait,
and
wait,
you know-
Chico. The person that got the least number right picks who goes home?
All right, the person who got the most number. Sorry about
that. There we go. That's okay.
Okay.
You confused me there for a second, that's all.
And first of all, number one, you have reality show veterans in there. You have Xavier Prather, Nina Twine, who just, the daughter of Sandra Diaz Twine. You have the guy from the Fyre Fest. I like this show a lot because, first of all, number one, that house is real. We checked it out. You can rent that house out for €1,000 a night up in Spain. Okay. Really beautiful house. Is the gameplay original? No. But you know what? The way they took the elements and the way they molded this, it works for me.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that has a little bit of everything that you come to expect from a reality show, but ultimately it has a bit of je ne sais quoi, and that would be the elements of being anonymous in that it makes the whole show better than the sum of its parts. I really like this show. Like, really like this show.
All right, Gordon.
I have to go, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so I'm glad you guys like it. Here's the issues that I have with the show, and there are a couple. I'll mention the good. The good part is, yeah, you know what? They put a different twist on a different sort of social experiment. And it's really what people are like when they have to be real. Except you don't realize how real that they have to be. And from a psychological standpoint, this can definitely be a mind bleep experience in terms of that, because you're also playing the game in terms of being social, and you're trying to lure people in thinking that somebody said this about this person, but it's not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost sort of like a real version of Gossip Girl, if you understand my reference.
I do understand, because I live with my sister.
Hey, Keith!
So, I mean, that's all good. Here's the bad, and for me, it's a big one. The problem with any reality show is that there's three types of reality people. Actually, there's four. The heroes, the types you like. The heroes and the ones that you like to hate. The villains, but the cool villains, the villains that you like, and the villains that just you don't like to hate, they're just unpleasant. And the problem that I have with this show is that you're begging for there to be no heroes whatsoever, and they're all a bunch of villains who are all being incredibly unpleasant to each other. That doesn't make it comfortable TV viewing. Do you have drama? Of course, you've got drama up the yin-yang in terms of that. But again, if you're looking for strategy and you're looking for that instead of the house being fueled by emotion, this is not the show for you. This is a show that, yes, it is played in strategy, but part of the strategy is to make life unpleasant and to have people run on emotion. And for me, it is not a watch that I want. Sorry. I'm recusing myself. I'm putting a T next to it. I'm going to the T bar. You guys like this a lot better than I do.
That's fine. I'm going to give it a B.
I'm going to give it a B+. If you are a big fan of The Traitors, if you're a big fan of The Circle, if you're a big fan of shows of any of that type, you're going to love The Anonymous. And I've spoken to a lot of
people. I agree with you on that, by the way. If you like those sort of shows, yeah. Circle, I like. Traitors, not so much. And yeah, again, you're talking to somebody who, and I'll admit it, the Traitors is an okay show, but for me on the Traitors, and a big for me on the Anonymous. Sorry, not sorry.
That's fine.
My email will go to Gordon Pepper at GameshowNewsNet.com.
There you go. That's fine. At GSNN Haterade. Speaking of Haterade, let's go to AGT. So do we want to just tell who advanced, or do we want to just go through the order and what do you want to do?
Let's just give it the whole 30 seconds of treatment right here, because there wasn't really much to talk about. Airfootworks got the golden buzzer. Because Howie did get to the button before Simon did. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. And then we have Ashley Montague and NeNe to the stage before ballerina Ashley Montague is going to the top five. Then we have Alex Sampson and Schumacher. Alex Sampson, singer-songwriter, is still in the hunt. B-Boy Samuka and Brooke Bailey. Samuka's in. Biko's Mana and Young Min. Young Min is in the top five. And the last spot goes to Sky Elements over Legion. So your top three and the three people moving on in the contest: Alex Sampson, Young Min, and Sky Elements. Who do we have next week, Jay?
Petey Simon, Jelly Boy the Clown, Journey, Kelsey Jane, Learn More Genasi, Maya Neelakantan, Menudo, Reed Wilson, Sabrina, Sam Hwang, and the Wreck Laws. And then the week after that, because we know who the other four are, and we'll talk about it again, are Brent Street, Erica Rhodes, Ilya and Anastasia Strakoff, Jonathan Burns, L6, Oscar Stenbridge, Priyanska Mishra, Sebastian and Sonia, Solange Cardinale, Stephanie Rainey, and Tony Kaku. It is still the number one show, but the ratings are way down this year, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it is, again, like you said, the number one show, but I think it's just sort of a thing where not many people are watching linear television anymore.
No, I just think that it's a bad talent season. How's that?
Well, in that case, it would have been a really bad season. Oh, last year, the year before, the year before.
But let's talk about a friend of yours, actually, as we end.
Shall we?
Sure.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Friday's episode of Let's Make a Deal Primetime. And, you know, they go big on Let's Make a Deal Primetime. These are things you do not see in the daytime. And one of the last deals that they had, the last one before the big one, actually, featured a couple of players. First one is Tia, a talent administrator and newlywed wife, who gets a small box unless she wants to trade it for curtain number two. She decides to keep the small box. Curtain number two goes to Terelia. She can take curtain number two or whatever is in Jonathan's pocket. Leftovers will go to lady that you've seen before, Catherine Brown.
Okay.
She's a pinata. Catherine Brown, former Jeopardy champion, breast cancer survivor, daughter of the legendary coach Mac Brown, and...
Are you kidding? For real?
For real, for real.
Okay.
And friend of the site and friend of ours.
Okay.
Terelia takes curtain number two, and Catherine is left with whatever's in Jonathan's pocket. So, Tia ends up with a whole bunch of broken bobbleheads. Terelia has music instruments worth over $7,000. And Catherine has a trip to the San Juan Islands and $10,000 for a total of $20,483. And if you can believe it, she gives it up to go for the big deal.
Which is worth, like
$143,935.
I believe that is the biggest big deal in history, I'm not mistaken.
She decides to go for door number three. Behind door number one is an HDTV 77 inches and gravity massage recliner worth $7,097. My door number two is a week-long vacation in Bora Bora, worth $31,912. Behind her door, the big deal. And it starts with a 2024 Range Rover Evoque Core S, worth $55,250. But that's not all. She also gets...
Every car in the show! Yep.
That is a 2024 Ford Mustang GT Premium and a 2024 Mazda Miata Grand Touring. In total, a big deal record of $143,935. And here's the kicker. Because she lives in Los Angeles, she gets to keep all three cars.
Nice. Kat,
if you're listening, you know where I live, so.
And you want that convertible, right?
Yeah.
No, but that, Gordon, you saw that. That was an amazing win.
It was an amazing win. It was fun. The only thing that, and I'm going to be that guy, The only thing that I'm wondering is she really going to have to pay $1,500 in taxes?
$1,500?
I'm sorry, $15,000.
Probably more.
Whee!
Probably more, and she may have to sell one car to pay the taxes for the other two.
Yeah, I was going to say, sell the Miata. Chico wants it. Chico will pay your taxes.
Yeah, sell the Miata.
It's for my blood, let me tell you.
Yeah, but and again, we have a new primetime episode this Friday. But what we also have is both Brain Vision News and our start of our full preview with five good questions, plus one, about Wheel of Fortune. And we actually prepared. So, Chico, take us to break.
Prepare? Why would we do something stupid like that?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-1. Your home. Or we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 cars that Jason Block will salivate over and beg the car winner to send to him. And he'll pay for the taxes.
Oh, me. Let's see. Chevy Corvette, the BMWs that they had, the Alfa Romeo Giulias that they had, the Rolls Royce, the Lamborghini, the Porsches. The Audis, I've got about eight, but we don't have enough time.
You say the Miata, Jay. Don't you want the Miata?
I actually want the Mustang myself, but, you know, what you're going to do.
We'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun, and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong, and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
News has been brought to you by The Anonymous, the Central Park Bathroom Stall Edition. All you have to do is write on the wall, right on the paper, let's see who pops out, or what pops out, or what pops in, or what's ejected, or who's ejected, or who's ejected out of what.
Sorry, Jason.
That is The Anonymous, the Central Park Edition. Hi, Jason Elliott. Don't yank us.
Please don't. Just give us the cue.
You need a cold shower after that, Jay?
I need brain bleach.
Brain bleach! Yes.
Roll that beautiful Central Park brain footage.
I hit it.
Globe to your frontal lobe. This is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
That was so awkward. Thank you very much, Doug Morris. Follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and Attracts Productions. And don't forget, he's on the air every Sunday on Rock Tracks at Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course, all over the node.
Multiverse.
On rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 app. Oh, yeah, yeah. How do I even...
Just hit the business thing because we got more suitors here than The Bachelor. Go ahead. Okay. So in the war for Paramount, we have another suitor. Right, Chico?
That is correct. Edgar Bronfman Jr., after using the 45-day window to scrape as much money as he can, as much of everybody else's money as he can. He offered $4.3 billion for Paramount. But, however, in a breaking news story, that offer is now $6 billion.
Here comes the money. Here we go.
I got that too.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Right on.
Okay. The new offer includes the same $2.4 billion to buy Sherry Redstone's family holding National Amusements. It sets aside $400 million for a breakup fee due to Skydance if David Ellison, backed by Larry Ellison and Redbird Capital, are ultimately jilted. And it has $1.5 billion cash injection to boost Paramount's financials. The difference is the extra $1.7 billion. According to people familiar with the situation, Bronfman did not insist on how that money should be directed, but he expressed a preference. Funds should be offered to Paramount's Class B non-voting shareholders to cash out on a prorated basis for $16, which is higher than the $15 Skydance offered to Class Bs.
You know, I'm waiting to hear a bell and somebody say, sale surprise.
Winner!
No, I'm actually waiting for the I'm just actually waiting for the legit Money in the Bank briefcase, and it's Warren Buffett who's going to come in and sweep it all under, you know?
Yeah, I mean this is just getting silly, and I'm completely, by the way, I'm completely expecting some sort of breach of contract coming out.
This ain't going to be done by the end of this year. May not even be next.
Well, but I mean, here's a bigger problem, though. And I believe if that's the same article in terms of breaking news that I've heard about and that I've read, they are now extending the 45-day window, which, based on what I know, is a no-no. So if that, and again, this is all alleged, if that's the case, our haterade shall be already set up for next week already, because if you remember, that buyout, if someone tampers around with that and yutzes around with the contract, is $400 million.
By the way, I actually have that, actually. According to Variety, could you play the breaking news thing, please? Thank you. Skydance accuses Paramount of violating deal agreement with negotiating with Edward Rutherford Jr. Okay. Lawyers for David Ellison Skydance sent a letter Thursday to the special committee established by Paramount to evaluate merger and acquisition offers, accusing the committee of breaking the terms of their deal by extending the negotiating window to consider Bronson's proffer and threatening to withdraw its own $8 billion plus proposal. Skydance legal team demanded Paramount end its negotiations with Bronfman Group. The continuing Translation. Paramount has committed an incurable material breach of the transaction agreement. Gordon, spot the F on. Skydance letter to the Paramount Special Committee said, according to the report. Per the journal, the letter also said, while Skydance is not currently exercising its right to terminate the transaction agreement, we reserve the right to do so in the future.
Paramount to Edward Bronfman, lawyer up. Because it's on.
Gordon, you nailed it. On the money. On the money. Good job.
Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, history repeats itself. Because, you know, again, with the NBA going away from TNT, TNT immediately went, no. Here, you did this and this and this.
Right,
so
exactly.
So we take it to court. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. But
you don't need to be a brain surgeon.
But in the most unshocking news, right, Chico? Unshocking news.
Most unshocking news ever. MTV has ordered more Drag Race All Stars, and more. Yeah.
Untucked.
And for Untucked. All of those will be coming in 2025. They also used the moment to prop up the ACLU's Drag Defense Fund, surpassing 2 million, driving weekly viewers to donate via QR code at the end of each episode.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Hey, Jason, remind me again, is drag a constitutionally protected form of speech?
As far as I know, yep. Moving on to the date book, Gordon, and it's pretty big, believe it or not. Thursday, as we record this, is the season finale of Alone Australia. Sundays are the season.
Hold on, I have an add-on for Friday.
Okay.
Friday is Game Show Network is airing two episodes of Match Game from 1980, featuring Peter Marshall on the panel.
Okay. Sunday is the season finales of Love is Blind Mexico and the Great Food Truck Race Games on the Gulf. Monday's Wild and Out will have Tasha Kay and Hitman Holla. Tuesday is The Bachelorette, The Men Tell All. Wednesday is the season finale of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Reggie Watts and Ron Funches and Jillian Jacobs and Danny Pudi. And, of course, the season finale of Claim to Fame.
So yeah, we can see who everybody is related to who. Awesome. But now let's load up, shall we?
Let's do it. So,
all right. So the hot streaming property as far as pure game shows have been over the past year was Dropout's Game Changer. Now they're going to do the same sort of thing to cookery competitions with a show called Gastronauts. In the new series, host Jordan Myrick is joined by three comedians each episode who all have specific ridiculous culinary challenges for each episode's group of chefs, which consists of past contestants and winners from cooking shows including Chopped, Food Network Star, and Hell's Kitchen. Along with Reich and Mulligan, comedians who will be judging the chef competitors include recurring Dropout talent Vic Michaelis, Jacob Wysocki, Oscar Montoya, and newcomer TikTok star Kendall Landris, among others. The series will premiere October 11th on Dropout, with new episodes being released every other Friday.
And with the news that Pluto has dropped the Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune channels, Wheel of Fortune came to the internet and said, "We've got a new streaming house soon. We'll let you know." So,
and that, of course, would be very smart.
It would be, because people want to see their old stuff. This, however, not so smart, and this is an NAWC crossover.
That's dumb.
So Hulk Hogan is, he actually has his own new beer line following in the steps of Stone Cold Steve Austin and others. So he slammed a few down and basically challenged Kamala Harris's credibility, not unlike a certain political candidate, and basically did a racist slur towards Ms. Harris, Vice President Harris, and then blamed it on the fact that he drank too much.
So, racist, yeah. And you're keeping score.
Yeah, racist and drunk. Racist, drunk, and old. Anyway, but you know what? We need some haterade, and this one, we saw this one coming.
Yeah, we did.
Haterade!
All right, so you probably saw this coming if you saw Jennifer Lopez with a Starbucks mug and Ben Affleck with a Dunkin' Donuts mug. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck, after 2 years of marriage, are calling it quits.
Again. And supposedly, no prenup.
Oh, so it goes splitsies. Splitsies, halfsies, for sharesies.
Hmm. I don't know, but not very smart. So where are we sending all the lawyers that are going to be involved in those last two things?
Jennifer Lopez's house.
Oh, good. Oh, goodness gracious. We can only hope, right? No. We are going to Spain this week because they picked up the Israeli format, The Search, from Keshet International. It's basically a gigantic word search on a floor.
Okay.
The Spanish version will be the second, The Spanish version will be the second international adaptation after its version in Uruguay by Canal Cuatro, which has broadcast 70 episodes of the show to date. It turns the traditional word search into a physical competition in which contestants must test knowledge, speed, cognitive skills, and teamwork. The Spanish version will be titled Sopa de Letras and will premiere in primetime access on the regional channel of Aragon, part of the Forta public channel network, later this year. Sopa de Letras translates into alphabet soup.
I like it. I like word search that, you know. And, you know, yeah, but maybe we'll get some Spanish media pros with that.
Maybe we will.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes.
And this week's media pro report. We also said goodbye to Phil Donahue. You remember he interviewed a panel of game show legends before they all played each other's games. Bobby Bones defends his title when his partner says he wasn't the best. Remember, he won Dancing with the Stars that one time. Gordon Ramsay has a documentary heading to Netflix. Richard Simmons' death is ruled an accident due to recent falls and heart disease. Ryan and Vanna are taking pictures and giving a sneak peek of the new set to come later this year. Ben Higgins is expecting his first child. Congratulations. Greg Grippo is not ruling out a trip to Bachelor in Paradise. Alan Cumming is reading Edgar Allan Poe as a sleep story. Hope you get to sleep. Michelle Visage and Nivea Nguyen give big ups to the Global All-Stars cast. Leah Kedeb sides with UTA. We also said goodbye to Silvio Santos this week. We have a new show called Killer Cakes with cake bakers looking to make the goriest cake possible. RuPaul guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live. Simon Cowell is judging pizza for Domino's. And we have a judge and host for Building the Band on Netflix. It'll be Nicole Scherzinger, Liam Payne, and Kelly Rowland with AJ McClain hosting. And Michael Ian Black and Amber Ruffin have been named captains for Have I Got News For You? But none of them are your pros of the week. And this guy really went pro this week. Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias has given us a preview of The Hollywood Squares. And let me tell you something. If you see the pictures, it looks absolutely gorgeous. You have 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the future. And it just looks absolutely beautiful. And from the pictures we got from his Instagram story, we can already tell you some of the people who will be on Hollywood Squares when it premieres in 2025. We have Akbar Gbajabia Mila, Yvette Nicole Brown, Whitney Cummings, Oliver Hudson, and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is indeed a lot. And of course, the video that Fluffy posted on his Insta gives inspiration from the original 1960s version instead of the versions of hip-hop and Nashville and Celebrity Squares that we have seen over the past few years. So it's going to be a lot of nods to the original Hollywood Squares instead of nods to the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour.
Which is a good thing. And those are your pros.
By the way, other names are Tig Notaro, Kristen Schaal, Mario Cantone, Tichina Arnold, and Beth Bears, and Vicki Lawrence. So, something for everybody. But that is Brain Vision. I'm going to hit the shutdown button
here. No, I got it. Here, right here.
Is this going to be like Howie and Simon for the Golden Buzzer this
year? Exactly. Yeah. No, I said I got it.
Okay. Alrighty, so now we go into our break, but when we come back, we have five interesting questions plus one on what to expect when you're expecting a new host and a new era on Wheel of Fortune. This is WLTI on 5 and 1. Stick and stay. We will be right back. WLTI is presented by Hollywood Square Pizza. It's basically what happens when you take California-style pizza with all of its barbecue goodness and Detroit-style pizza with all of its squareness. You have Hollywood Square Pizza. It's delicious. Now available at your local grocery store. Just tell them that Gordon Pepper and Chico Alexander sent you. That's Hollywood Square Pizza.
You remember when we were in Burbank, by the way, and we ordered a Big Mama's Big Ass Pizza?
Yes, I do. I do.
I was just thinking about that.
I remember it took about 20 people to finish about half of that. It was insane.
Yeah, we had it for the whole trip, and that is a good reason to order Big Mama's Pizza. Free plug. Just like we have five good reasons on all sorts of different stuff.
Well, five good questions, because we are talking about Wheel of Fortune coming back for its landmark season 42 with brand new host Ryan Seacrest, and we have prepared a battery of five good questions plus one. Because we've got to put a sixth in there, because this is Act 3, and that's how we do it around here. All right,
And Chico, you have the list, right?
I do have the list, and here is your first question. What does Wheel of Fortune have to do to get more interactive with the fans?
You see, here is the big problem, the only real problem I have had with Wheel over the last maybe 5 to 6 seasons or so. You have millions of people holding a spin ID and they do practically nothing with it. You have, okay, the mystery round person wins $10,000. Okay, great. You're trying to do stuff with the Fan Friday code with Maggie Sajak. That's a start. But you got to do a lot more. You really do. I just don't know what necessarily.
I would sort of have some ideas. You know, like in Only Connect, you can submit puzzles, and if they're used, you can get a special Wheel of Fortune tchotchke. You know, we hear about the Wheelmobile, but they don't really do as much promotion of it as they should. So maybe if you have a spin ID and you show up, you get bonus stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do. Or even a Wheel of Fortune Rotisserie League. That would be fun.
And
I have ideas. I know. Think about how to do it.
Right. And by the way, I will say this. Those influencer boxes that they sent out Ryan Seacrest to launch New Era, that is the most brilliant thing that Wheel has done in 10 years. I mean that for real. You should do that. Is great. You know? It's great stuff. They should be doing that. And I'll throw it to you, and maybe you could add on, Chico. What about Wheel of Fortune Live? Why aren't they promoting that?
Oh, gosh. Probably because they want to you know, they don't want to confuse any audience, any of the television audience. They're thinking that it is nothing more than just a traveling live stage show. They don't want to confuse the product. It's like, we're going to be on Wheel of Fortune. No, you're going to a stage show. It's a good stage show, but it's just a stage show.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but they really should, you know, do more implementation.
Correct.
You know, you have a big level of potential interactivity. And the only group that I think that does a worse job of it in terms of interactivity is Family Feud. Yeah, they do a lot of clips and they put it out there, but they're not giving fans a chance to interact.
Agreed. And the thing is that we would love to see it because this is, I mean, look, I will tell you the shows who do it well. The Fox shows, Pictionary, 25 words or less, or person, place, or thing. They have contests every year, and you know I was part of one, where if you throw your name in a hat and they draw your name, they will get you on TV, and if the player does well, you win $500. That's perfect! That's what you should do! Something like that. Simple. Simple and easy. Question two.
Question two. What do you think the general population reaction to Ryan Seacrest will be?
Favorable. You know, I mean, Ryan Seacrest is Ryan Seacrest. He is, and it's weird to say it, he is an ABC icon. He's a TV icon. He does all this stuff. I don't think there's going to be an issue. I think he needs to make sure that he is Ryan Seacrest and not Pat Sajak.
Yes.
That would be the one thing that he needs to be real careful on. And to be Ryan Seacrest and not piss off Vanna or Maggie or Jim or anybody else. And just be himself and realize that he is part of the equation. It may take him a season. He may sort of Drew Carey it. And I don't mean that in a positive way.
No, I understand what you mean.
Until he finds his own footing. But I think he'll be fine. I do. I mean, you don't tune in to see Pat Sajak. You tuned in to see the puzzles and have Pat Sajak complimented. As long as Ryan Seacrest is the same thing, it'll be fine.
Not bad for being a cultural icon at 49 years old.
Exactly. That's why it's weird to say that, but he is.
He is. It's the same thing that all new hosts need to do. You know, Ken Jennings is not the latest Alex Trebek. He's the first Ken Jennings. Ryan Seacrest needs to be the first Ryan Seacrest and not the latest Pat Sajak. As long as he does that, and the reaction will be fine, except for the fanboys who will say, Brian Seacrest sucks after one show. Take him away. He shouldn't even be there. You know what I mean.
There's always going to be fanboys.
Indeed. So, Chico?
My thinking is, you know what? Everybody, I was like, my deluded thinking is everybody's going to see past the host change and embrace the game. It is the same game as it was and as it will ever be. It's just has a fancier new wrapping with a fancy new host. And Ryan Seacrest, you know, give all of the credit in the world to Sony. They know what they're doing. Ryan Seacrest knows the format. And if he didn't know the format, he's a quick study of the format. The show will be just fine. Question three.
How much longer is Vanna White going to be there?
Ooh, and we have, that's on the list, isn't it? That's on the list, right?
Check. Yes.
Yes. Okay. I will say this. Remember, she signed for 2 years, right? She signed for two, right?
Right.
She did.
She's only going to be there for one.
Ooh.
I think she's going to be there for one. And again, I will predict this. Sometime in February or March of 2025, we will get the official notification that Maggie Sajak will be the new Letter Turner and social media correspondent for Wheel of Fortune. It's as obvious as when Mike Richards took over the gig when we were at when in 2019. It's that obvious.
I would agree with you there.
What with both the number and why or what?
I'm not going to agree with the number. I think it'll be two. It wouldn't shock me if it was one, but I think it'll be two.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I happen to agree. I think I want to say that Vanna will write out the rest of her contract, but realistically, if she's done after one, I don't blame her. They're going to try and make this into a big thing, but ultimately, it's none of our business.
Yes and yes.
All right. Question four. What does Ryan Seacrest have to do? Because as we are speaking, he is hosting the show. And based on what we've seen on the socials, he's doing a bang up job. But what does he have to do?
Not screw up. I've said this earlier. He needs to be a host. He does not need to be a comedian. He does not need to be Drew Carey. He does not have to be Pat Sajak. He just needs to be Ryan Seacrest and not screw anything up. You've got the format. You've got everything else.
What he has to do is doing exactly what he's doing now. Promote the show, which is what he's doing. Do the whole social media stuff. And then just host the show the way he's supposed to do it. And in the words of RuPaul, don't it up. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
All right.
Anything to add?
You guys pretty much nailed it on the... You guys pretty much nailed it there. Okay, question number five. Is anybody gonna win this million?
No. No.
I'm gonna disagree. Yes. People have come close. People have come close. They've done everything that they needed to do. They just didn't solve the puzzle. Eventually someone's gonna solve that puzzle and while having the $1 million wedge.
And it's been 10 years since Sarah Manchester did it. 10 years.
It has, but it's been much more recent where people have gotten to the point and they just didn't get the puzzle right.
Right. Remember, we had one season where we had $2 million losses. I mean, remember, one of the most historical things that we had was the back-to-back-to-back, the $100,000, which was one of the greatest weeks in television. On wheel.
Yeah, so it could definitely happen. It's just going to be a matter of when. But that's what makes it so alluring, is that it is doable. It is very feasible to do. It just needs to be done.
Indeed. Excuse me. Indeed. Go ahead.
And now, the plus one. Last season, Wheel of Fortune posted a rating of 4.5. As Ryan Seacrest to launch new era of Wheel of Fortune, what will be the rating?
There's going to be a huge curiosity factor in the beginning, and I think it's going to stay 4.8.
I agree with Jay. 4.8 is the correct answer.
I will make it a threesome. 4.8.
Because people are going to want to see, and they're going to want to, and also, they're also want to, because everyone's talking about the new set, which we've seen pictures of and little teases of. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. Can't wait.
Absolutely delicious.
But again, and then of course, Wheel of Fortune debuts 2 weeks from Monday, as we record this, on September 9th. And I believe next week we're going to do their sister show, correct?
Correct. Next week we're going to have five good questions on Jeopardy. Although, after the last season, what else could we ask about? I'm sure we'll think of something.
There's no doubt that we will think of something. Just like there's no doubt we're now going to a break.
Yep, we'll be right back. This is We Love to Interrupt.
Brain Vision News has been brought to you by Killer Cakes, also in the Central Park men's and women's.
Oh, yeah. Oh really? Are we really? Are we really going?
Hosted by Jason Derulo.
Okay.
Cake.
Yeah, I think that was more like butt, you know.
I wasn't going to say that.
Butts, and now I need an adult.
You know, be nice. We have cake by the ocean.
Yes.
And it wasn't about a cooking competition.
Yes. Speaking of which, speed round. And let's start it.
We love
now.
You, Jason.
Thank you. We love you as Jason Elliott. Now, Brooklyn's going home, ain't she?
Yes, unless she wins the AI arena, and I don't think she does, she's going home.
Yeah, nope. If she doesn't win that, she's gone.
Okay, RuPaul's Drag Race. Do we find out what the competition is next week?
I think we do find out what the competition is, but if they're smart, it will do the thing where they don't eliminate anybody, and instead they do the whole... I don't know what shields and stars they're going to go for in Global All-Stars, but there you go.
If you're doing a Global All-Stars and bringing all these people in, you didn't sign up to be eliminated in the third episode. Unless you did. I guess we'll find out.
We will find out.
But there's got to be some sort of twist.
Okay, AGT, give me somebody who's going to get go on to the semifinals in this week.
Do you have the list again?
Yes, I'm about to pull it up. That would be Dee Dee Simon, Joey Boy the Clown, Journey, Kelsey Lane, Learn More Genasi, Maya Nilakanta, Menudo, Reed Wilson, Sam Wong, and the Reclaws. And I'm going to give the Reclaws, because they're a country band, aren't they?
They are a country band. I'm going to give it to the Reclaws as well.
Yeah,
make it a threesome.
But by the way, do you think Menudo goes further, or do you think the 1 week?
You know what? I'm gonna say Menudo.
I
think they will advance. I'm gonna swing over to them. I forgot that they're in this week. And again, it's all about the popularity. Menudo is Menudo. I don't know why you would put them in that. I do know why you would put them there, but. Yeah, yes. I'm going to put on the cynical bastard hat and say Menudo.
Okay. And one other question. Who's the AI instigator going to be? Tucker?
Tucker! It's going to be Tucker! Everybody loves Tucker! Yeah. Tucker, be your Tucker!
Okay.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna go off on a limb here. If not Tucker, Angela.
Ooh! Oh, God!
That would not shock me right there. That would not shock me right there. Okay.
I don't know how likable or unlikable she is, but you know, she's growing on me, like kudzu.
Like a plant, right?
Yeah, she's growing on me like trench foot. Anyway.
The anonymous. Are we going to get our first elimination this week? And who do you think it's going to be?
Oh gosh, it could be anybody, because remember, this game is multifaceted, but I would not be surprised if Xavier went.
Really? Okay.
Just throwing a name.
Alright, we shall see.
Okay. Do we have any mail? Okay, so Stephen Buis, the self-appointed ombudsman of the podcast, has sent us 5 good questions. Wheel, how long does the Ryan Seacrest honeymoon last? Over, under 1.5 weeks? Over.
Oh, yeah, way over.
Yeah, this is Ryan Seacrest, not Michael Richards we're talking about. Very over.
Oh, damn!
Da-da-da-da-da-da!
God, Max!
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not. Tell me if I'm telling lies. Right on. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Continuing. Jeopardy, how long does the TOC and qualifying events last? Will they stay with the 27-person field? Yes.
I hope they do.
Into dramatic gameplay.
Let's look at the Jeopardy tournament tracker right now. Okay? Because... because it's very interesting.
Looking up that, you know, the ratings have gone well for the newfangled tournaments. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right.
So anyway, Jay, back to you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to the Tournament of Champions tracker. As of the eligible for the last season, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players so far. We need a bit. We need a little bit more. And one of them is our good friend Lisa Ann Walter from Jeopardy, Celebrity Jeopardy. Our big winner this year this past season was Adriana Harmeyer at 15, Isaac Hirsch at 9, Drew Basile at 7, Allison Betts and Amy Hummel at 5, and Grant DeYoung and Amir Kirkirdy at 4. We'll find out more on September 9th. Next question.
Yeah. Price is Right. Any new pricing games this season? And should any of the older ones be retired? No, and also no.
No, right now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Go ahead.
Let's make a deal. Ditto, new games or retirements? Yes and no. There are going to be new games, but there are not going to be any retirements.
Well, there have been retirements if you've seen some games before, you know. They switch it around. The producers know what they're doing. We know one of them. You know a few of them.
Oh, yeah. Family Feud. Can we finally bump up the Fast Money to $10 a point?
No.
No. What? No, we can't. No, but I will also say something smart. They're doing a very good change this year that the family who, they win 5 games, they don't get a car, they get a trip, which I think is smart.
Because of all it makes much more sense.
Yes.
Yep. Other Cindy's and GSN. Will any other games get more media coverage like the classics currently do?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know what? I'm thinking the new Hollywood Squares in January 2025 will. I know that will.
Maybe.
And I also think that the GSN flip side with Jaleel White. That will. I mean, again, they will be covered. Just a question of the Big Six monopolize everything in the best way possible, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have coverage. The coverage stays as long as the show's good.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we've heard these big, we've heard these big grandiose games and all that stuff. And you know, it's great for what that is. The games have got to work. So it's all on that. I think it's a great idea in terms of CBS with the flip side and GSN. Now we have to hope that GSN is a good enough show that it's flip side's a good enough show that it will work. We're all hoping it does. If it does, it opens up
for
all sorts of different collaborations.
Well, it's going to have a heck of a lead-in from Cheap High Buckety Buck Carl Schneer. It will be paired with the ABC run of Match Games starting September 16th.
Well, I mean, it's good from that standpoint, but again, the bigger focus in terms of ratings isn't going to be from GSN. It's going to be from syndication.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And finally, primetime. Any chance of a primetime game will run the entire year instead of just the stunt programming?
No.
It's not built to... A primetime game show is not built to run an entire year. It's built to run in bursts, to keep the energy up, to keep people wanting more, and to keep the audiences coming back. If you have a show run in a year, you're going to burn it out. Ask Millionaire.
Indeed. But thank you for those questions. Those are excellent. Really good.
Yeah, yes, and if you have some excellent questions, why don't you send us some? WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. Follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I'm Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network 5&1 Net. That's the number 5, Andy, O-N-E-N-E-T. We talk about everything going on network wide, including Jason, you, me, VRM, Ian. Talked about week 2 in the preseason of the NFL on the BS Big Show. And we are getting ready.
And we're getting ready for our draft, and we even have more news. No starters will be playing for the Jets, including Aaron Rodgers. Let's see. Yeah, Caleb Williams is our number one for the Caleb Williams is QB one for the Bears. Bo Nix is number one for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there've been more trades and the more preseason games that have been happening. And again,
And Pat McAfee is on his way to Dublin pounding Guinnesses as we speak.
Yes. And so with that, Gordon, what's happening in the UBA? Are we still on? We're on opt-out season, aren't we?
Opt-out season is over. All the lists have been put out. A lot of new teams are being made. A couple of old teams are being poached out of commission. But this is what happens every single year at this point. The calm before the storm. So a couple of weeks from now, we do this all over again.
That's right. And over at the NAWC, I will be hosting this week, along with VRM and the rest of the gang, as we have a pay-per-view with AEW in London, 50,000 strong. The Bash at Berlin is a week from Saturday. We are heading towards that. And we are actually heading towards the end of the year. And in one of the craziest years of wrestling ever, and it's even getting better, we've got NXT on CW starting a month from now. SmackDown is going to USA in a few weeks. It's nuts. It's some good stuff. Cannot wait for that. And it was a thing, lastly.
Lastly, we are bringing back the video game show with more games, TV shows that you have to see to believe, including how do you make a video game out of Rocky and Bullwinkle? We go into that. How do you make a video game out of Desperate Housewives? We go into that. And finally, one really bad case of bad American box art.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to listen for that one. I'm not giving any spoilers. It was a thing on TV.com. Next week, 5 questions on Jeopardy. We go over AGT. We go over Big Brother. We go over week 2 in Drag Race. And we review the Blue Ribbon Baking Championship with Jason Biggs as host. Keep him away from the pie. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 501, I'm Chico Alexander. And as we close, we're going to turn this over to Peter Marshall. Mr. Marshall, it is all yours.
I want to just say, these are just some of the folks who have been responsible for the Hollywood Square show. But you've never really met our director. We've done over 4,000 shows. This is Jerry Shaw. Harry Freeman, this is Ida Mae McKenzie. She's the sergeant who has done all this. But yeah, before, anything you'd like to say to our staff before we say goodbye until we go into syndication, Mr. Shaw?
Well, no one wants to see a rich director cry, and I'm about
to. Awesome. All right. You get back up there to our last shot. Anyway, this is Ida Mae McKenzie. This is Vicky. And this is Arthur. This is Mr. Quigley. Mr. Heater, don't put that gun down, mister. But these are all of the people. I also want to thank some of the folks who have been at NBC as long as we have, which is over 14 years. Guys like Dean Craig. His daughter, by the way. She works for it. Little nepotism, never hurt anybody. There's a guy by the name of Jay Michaels, he's a beauty.
Yeah.
But all of this, all of our cameramen, it sounds really corny, but the people who have been here all these years, I'm talking about the established people at this network,
right,
are the best in the world.
Where's
the writers, yes, the writers. But I would also like to thank all the stars. There have been hundreds and hundreds of stars over the years who have been
on
our show.
Where's the producer, Peter?
I really don't care. I want to thank, as I said, all the stars of the past and people like Wally Cox and Charlie Weaver and folks like that that we miss terribly. But thank God for the George Gobles and the Vinnie Prices and Ro Charlie, all the people who do our show. So on behalf of the staff of Heater Quigley and of all the people who work at NBC, and they are the best, we may be number 3. But if they get another show like ours, then they could be number 1 again.
Yeah.
behalf of everybody, and on behalf of my wife, Sally, and my six children, and my two grandchildren, thank you. You have made us the hit that we have been. Thank you out there. You are the ones that have been responsible. Bye-bye.
Interrupt this program.